Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11 down through 19. Verse 11 says, let me start with verse 10 rather. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood, and they lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Let's pray, and then the message this evening, I've just entitled it, The Sin of Socialism. The Sin of Socialism. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, we just thank you again for, Lord, just a good day to be in your house this morning, the opportunity to go out soul winning this afternoon, Lord. Lord, it's just a privilege just to live for you, Lord, and serve you. I ask now that you would fill me with your spirit, Lord, and that you would just completely take over, hide me behind you, Lord. I ask that if there's anything I would be about to say, Lord, that contradicts your word, that you would keep me from saying it, Lord. And likewise, if there's something that you would have me to say that I might not have written down, you'd bring it to mind. Lord, I'm asking you to take over, and I'm asking that you would be the preacher tonight, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. There's many different forms of government, and Pastor kind of mentioned that a few weeks ago when he was going through 1 Peter. And there's many different types of government. I'm a little biased. I kind of like the Constitutional Republic. I'm a little biased there. I love my country and the Constitution that I inherited and I was born into. But there are many forms of governments around the world. There's the monarchs. A king is the authority there. You might see dictatorships. One person is in charge. Ours, of course, we're a constitutional republic. That's our form of government. And, of course, and then there's the socialist form of government and the communistic form of government. They're similar, but they're not the same. A lot of times the words of socialism and communism get used in place of each other oftentimes. They're very, very similar, but they are not quite the same. What socialism is, just to give you a definition, and this is a short definition, and let me preface all this with saying I'm not a history scholar by any means or anything like that. I don't claim to be an economist or anything like that. I enjoy studying those things. I think it's good to. I do know basically what they are. Socialism is government control, and it's redistributing wealth, property, things like that. And the goal is to then become a communist type of nation. And it's one step closer to communism and things like that. But the socialism is redistributing wealth and things like that. We understand that. You might say, Pastor Matt, what does this have to do with the Bible? We'll get there. We'll get there. But that's what socialism is. And there's a growing movement in our nation towards socialism. And it's kind of scary. It really is. And we're going to look at socialism tonight and communism and what they are and why they're dangerous. But the very foundation of socialism is that it is the government will redistribute property and wealth. Those that make more, they tax higher. Those that make less, they tax less, things like that. Provide free opportunities to people who don't make as much, things like that. And communism is total government control and ownership of everything. Communism at its truest form. Now, the text I just read, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, go back to that with me real quick, if you would. Now, keep your Bibles handy. When you preach on a controversial subject, you better make sure You have scripture to back it up. And we're going to be using our Bibles a lot tonight. But if you were to read this chapter and you were to assign a type of economy to it, or use it to describe an economic system, I guess you could say, it would be that of socialism or communism. You look at verse 14, it says, "Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse." You look at verse 19, "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." And if you were to use these verses to describe an economic or political system, it would be that of socialism or perhaps communism. And again, I do not claim to be an expert economist or anything like that, but I do believe the Bible should be our final authority in all matters of faith and practice, including economics and government. So, both of these forms of government, socialism and communism, they look so similar because in both of them, the individual loses control of his own property. And to a certain degree, loses control of their own property or wealth, and in turn become more dependent on the government. So I have, if you want to take notes, and again, we're going to be going to a lot of scripture tonight, but if you're taking notes, I have 7 points, and not any one of them are too long, but these are the 7 sins of socialism. Now, there's several underneath a point, and some of them, I mean, there's more than 7, but these are, this is the 7 that I will preach on tonight. Socialism, the first sin, is socialism brings laziness. Now, without mentioning the type of government, we would all agree that laziness is a sin. It's one of the 7 deadly sins. And no one would argue that slothfulness is sinful. But socialism will punish work ethic. You work harder to make more money to provide for your family, or to make more money to provide for someone else even, and to give to those who have need. You'll be punished for that by being taxed more or having more money taken from you. So it punishes the work ethic. Now go to 2 Thessalonians 3:10, please. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And we'll read verses 10 down through 12 here. 2 Thessalonians 3. There's a principle in Scripture that a person should work. There's a principle in Scripture that we're going to look at here in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, down through 12 here as well. Verse 10, chapter 3. Says this, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all." So to not work at all is disorderly, but are busybodies. "Now them that are such we commend and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." There is a principle in the Bible that says a person should work, and then once they work, they are able to enjoy the fruit of their work. There is something satisfying about being able to eat food that you bought because you worked. Whether it be landscaping, carpentry, financing, or whatever it might be, you provided a skill or a service, and you worked, and you were given reward for your work. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10 is clear that people ought to work, or else they should not eat. Now, when this is mentioned, there is always someone that says, "What about those that can't work?" Now, if you'll hold on for just a moment, we'll get to that principle here in a minute. But that does not ignore the fact that there is still a biblical principle that people ought to work, and then as a result, be able to eat. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, listen, providing for your own is not counting on someone else to provide for your own. But if any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There is a principle that people ought to provide for their own, especially those of their own house. This is Bible. And to count on someone else to provide for your own, to rely on a government check to provide for your own, is not providing for your own. There is a principle that someone ought to work. Now, I know this has been, the past year has been rough, and there has been, you know, government stimulus checks that are going out, and people have mixed feelings about them. Whatever, I'm not here to debate them at all. But one thing I do know is that if you can work, you should rely on your work and not a bonus check. So, there is a principle here that people ought to work, and a system that punishes those that make more money because they work harder, whether it's because they have a larger family or because they want to put more towards education to make themselves more valuable. Maybe they want to just provide more money to their church towards missions or something like that. But they're being punished in a form of government such as socialism or communism. So therefore, it produces laziness and less work. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Please keep your Bibles handy. We will use them a lot tonight. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. It says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." The slothful shall be under tribute. When you have a system that comes into existence because of laziness, the lazy person will then be enslaved to the system and be under tribute. Socialism may look enticing because you can get more and work less, but eventually it will catch up. Money doesn't grow on trees. You work for your money. Don't count on it to come free from other people. If we go to chapter 26 of Proverbs. And this, and we won't spend too much time on this. Proverbs is full of verses that address slothfulness. Proverbs 26 and verse 13, I believe. Verse 13 through 16. Verse 13, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth." Verse 16, catch this. "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men can render a reason." They think they're wiser. So, laziness is a sin. Slothfulness is a sin. We understand that concept. You can't read the Bible and think that it's okay to be slothful. So, one of the sins of socialism is that it produces a slothful person. And if there was only one sin, that would be bad, but there's more. So we're going to go on to number two. Socialism and communism break the eighth commandment. Go to Exodus chapter 20. In verse 15. You know it. "Thou shalt not steal." Period. That's the end of that's the verse. Thou shalt not steal. We agree it is wrong to steal. If I have a certain amount of things and someone else has more than me and I go and steal it, it is wrong for me to steal from that person. You could say, oh, well, they'll never miss it. It's still stealing. No matter how wealthy someone is and no matter how little you or much you might take, stealing is stealing. And it's wrong to steal. Thou shalt not steal. But if everyone agrees that it is wrong to take from someone, then how does it become okay for an economic or political system to take from someone for you? It's the same thing. It doesn't matter if the person has a title. Stealing is stealing. Stealing is stealing. Me and Pastor were talking about this the other night. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me go there too. We were talking the other night about this. I don't want to lose my train of thought here. Let me run to 1 Timothy real quick. Well, I'm not going to run there. I'm going to flip there. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 18 is quoting Deuteronomy 25:4. But we need to understand this. Forced giving is stealing. So if someone says, well, we need to take from the people that have more so we can give to the people that have less, that it's still taking. It's still stealing. So 1 Timothy 5, verse 18, I believe. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his reward. When someone works, they deserve their reward. That's Bible. The laborer is worthy of his reward. And again, you can write this down next to it. It's quoting Deuteronomy 25:4. So that is Old and New Testament. The meaning of the ox, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. This ox has been working all day, grinding the corn at the mill. And it is not good to keep that animal, to keep that ox from enjoying the rewards of grinding at the mill. And equally so, it is not right for a system to keep the person that works, whether it be in the construction or electric industry, or whether it be landscaping, whether it be bookkeeping, whatever it is not right to keep the man that works from enjoying the reward of his work. And then using that to provide for his family and his friends and his church. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. And these forms of government, socialism and communism, muzzle muzzle the ox that treads the corn. It hurts the worker. And it's not good. It's not a good thing. And I think we understand it, and I think we see that. People are to give as a result of their work, not work. People are to give as a result of their work and not have what they have taken from them. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. That'll help clear up what I'm trying to say here. Again, keep your Bibles handy. We're going to use a lot of passages here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. And we need to understand this principle because many times this verse is used to promote the socialistic type of economy and government. But look at this, verse 28, Ephesians chapter 4. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give him that needeth. It is the responsibility of the Christian to give. Not the responsibility of the government to take and give. I love America so much. I love our constitutional republic. I love the form of government we have, the form of economy we have, because it was founded on the Bible. Why is it that so much has gone to missions here in the United States. Because people have had to give. People have been able to give. If you talk to people from some other countries that aren't well off, third world type countries, those missionaries, their churches will probably never become self-sufficient because of the system they have. Their people can't have enough to give to the church for the church to function on its own. So those from an economic or system like ours have so that we can give to those who need. And that is biblical. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We ought to give. We ought to share. But forced sharing is not sharing. That is stealing. That is taking something that is not yours to take. And especially when the forced giving, the stealing, is taking from people to give to programs that go against God. We are to have to give to those who need, not to give to those who want to perform abortions. Stealing is stealing, no matter who does the stealing. Y'all pray for me, I'm getting a little worked up. Robin Hood was not a good guy, by the way. He robbed the rich to feed the poor. That means he robbed. That means he stole. I don't know why that came to my mind. But anyway, so sin number one, it brings laziness. Sin number two, it breaks the eighth commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Let's keep going. Socialism gets people dependent on the government and not dependent on God. Go to 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 23. It says, you are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Communism as well as socialism, dictatorships alike, do not recognize man, do not recognize God as their final authority, but rather recognize themselves or the government as the final authority. Did God ordain government? Yes. Romans chapter 13 is important. And what Pastor has mentioned in 1 Peter is important. But God ordained it for certain reasons to do certain things. To reward the good and punish the evil. Not to punish the good and reward the evil. But these forms of government do not recognize God as the final authority. Matthew Henry in his commentary said this. Regarding this verse, 1 Corinthians 7:23, he said, Christ's will must be regarded more important than their masters, referring to servants. And the servants of Christ should be at the absolute command of no other master than Him. Socialism will cause us to be dependent on the government rather than dependent on God. We understand God will provide for our needs. But when you start already counting on your third check to come in sometime next year, or now it's this year. Wow, it's this year. But you understand what I'm saying. We are not to be dependent on that. We are to be dependent on God and then go and work and trust God to provide. God is our final authority, not the government. And our founding fathers understood this, and our Constitution was set up accordingly. So, that's number three. I need to move on a little bit. Number four, both communism and socialism, they take away the private ownership. You say, did God address that? Oh, yes. Go to Matthew chapter 20. It was addressed. We were talking about this as well. I think it was in Deuteronomy where the Old Testament addresses ownership and things like that. Kind of a famous parable, Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. I'm going to read most of the parable here, and you'll see the context as we read this. Verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. He's going to hire someone to work for him. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, the agreement was between the house owner, the householder, the owner of the vineyard, and the laborer. For a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. That's important. They agreed on it. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the market, others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way, and again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right ye shall receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny, expecting more than what they agreed on. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man, saying, these that have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. It was not wrong for him to do that, is what he was saying. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, go thy way, I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Look at verse 15. This hit me like something. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine evil because I am good? The answer is, it was lawful for him to do that. That was okay. They agreed on wages, and they worked for their agreement, and he paid them accordingly. He agreed on a wage with other people he hired. This is kind of off topic a little bit, but it came to my mind. It's just good practice not to ask people you work with what they make. It's just good to work for what you agreed to work for. That's just, okay, anyway. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with what is mine? Go to, and the answer was, it was lawful for him to do that. Go to Acts chapter 5. Keep your Bibles handy, we'll be using them a lot tonight. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. And we'll read 1 through 4. Verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Anyone ever sold anything? Yes, okay. And kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Look at verse 4. Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? They owned it. Was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? The money was theirs. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart, and hast lied unto men, not but unto God? The problem with this was not that they had property and sold it. The problem was they lied. But he is making the point here, a side point, I guess you could say. The issue of this chapter was that they lied. But verse 4 says, whilst it remained, was it not thine own? They could do what they wanted with it. And they chose to do what they did. So, one of the sins of socialism and communism is to take away the private ownership of property and finances. and to control, along with that, the wages that an employer is to give an employee. Folks, that is not right. A person should agree with their employer what they will make. And if they're not worth it, the employer could get rid of them. And if they're worth more, maybe they'll make more. But the point is, that is between the employer and the employee. And that's what we see here. There was a statement that I have written down here, and I don't remember who said it. So I read it somewhere, but it says this: for an economic or political system to be Christian or to be biblical, it must protect private ownership and allow individuals to use their own resources as they see fit. And the socialism and communism don't do that. So that was four. Number five, socialism breaks the 10th commandment. And that is, thou shalt not covet. Don't covet. It's in Exodus 20 if you want to go there, but don't covet. Thou shalt not covet. A man by the name, I wrote this guy's name down, but I can't read my own writing. It looks like Bastiat is his last name. That's what it looks like. But I could be wrong. He said that the covetous idea of getting something for nothing is the driving force between socialism. And it is the evil eye, and he quotes Matthew 20, verse 15, that was the parable we just read, where he said that he said they had an evil eye. He said, this is the root of socialism: wanting more than I have earned. And it's not right to want more than you've earned. You should want what you've earned. And you should expect what you've earned. But socialism breaks the 10th commandment because it runs off of covetousness and stealing. But eventually, the thing is, eventually you run out of money. You run out of property. You run out of wealth. And to think, well, I just won't have to work as hard and someone else will pull my weight. Enough people will start to think that to where nothing will be accomplished. And then the economy will just collapse, which we know that. Number six. And this to me is very serious. As Christians, we understand there is more to life than just the physical. We understand that. Life is not just matter. It's not just material. There is more than things. The socialism, it really goes alongside with materialism. Materialistic worldview. A very famous politician in our country who claims to be a socialist says on his website, listen to this, this just shocked me. He says the greatest moral issue of our time. All right, I can think of some serious moral issues of our time. I can think of some serious ones. He said the greatest moral issue of our time is the issue of wealth and income inequality. That is not the greatest moral issue. That's not even a moral issue. But to claim that the greatest moral issue is income inequality, that tells you that their whole world revolves around income and material. The communists and socialists alike, they believe all that exists is material, and they are materialists. Karl Marx claimed, listen to this, he said, matter contains a creative power within itself. Does that not sound like evolution? Which that's what he believed in. Erasing the need of a creator. Communism dismisses the idea of God. And socialism is right there. Erasing the need of creator. These forms of government, they deny God's existence. These forms of government, they focus on material. Now, as a Christian, are we to make material our God? No. God is our God. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Your thumbs are going to fall off tonight. Matthew chapter 6. We are not to live for wealth. Wealth is not the center of our life. Material is not the center of our life. We are to work so that we can have, so that we can provide for our own household and then give to those that need. But that is not our goal in life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Material things. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All of these material things God will take care of. You seek the kingdom of God first. Matthew, I believe this is 6, verse 24, so you should be right here. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We are to serve God, not material. We are to live for our Lord, not money. We are to focus on what He wants, seek Him first, and not have this materialistic worldview that socialism brings and communism brings. The entire system is structured around income, around money, around things, possessions. As Christians, our entire thinking should be centered around the Lord, not around things. So that's the sixth sin of socialism. It brings a materialistic worldview. And number 7, socialism and communism, and they're not even hiding it anymore, are against the biblical family. They are against the biblical family. The Communist Manifesto, one of the things in it, in order to communize a society, or however you want to put it, the men had to become feminine. That was one of them. All right, now, we understand the way a biblical family is supposed to work. We've read the Bible. We understand this. A man is supposed to marry a woman, correct? They're supposed to be married. Then they're supposed to have children, correct? They're supposed to raise their own children, correct? This is the way God intended for it to be. So for a system of government or economy, whatever you want to call it, something that goes against that, goes against the Bible. Okay. So understand that. Go to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Parents are to train their children. Correct? Parents are to instruct their children. We'll provide opportunities for you to do that. We'll try to have programs and classes, but it's you, the parent, that's responsible for raising your children. We understand that. There might be programs you get your children involved in. That's good. That's your decision. But that's the key. God has entrusted the parent to raise their own children. Now, where was I? Proverbs 22, verse 6. Have you noticed a lot of these passages you've heard before? They're familiar. Oh man, let me get here real quick. 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We know that. We know this. We understand it's the responsibility of the parents to do this. I'm going to read you a quote from the Communist Manifesto. That's weird, isn't it? Isn't that weird? But this is what it says. And Friedrich Engels wrote this. He was the co-author with Karl Marx. Now, we understand how the family is supposed to work. A man is supposed to marry a woman. They're supposed to be married, have children. They raise their own children as they believe God instructs them to. The statement was this. He said that he envisioned that the single family would cease to be the economic unit of society, but private housekeeping would be transformed into a social industry, and the care and education of children become a public affair. Communism seeks to destroy the family, and they've been working on it. And we can see it. Parents, I encourage you, look at your kids' textbooks from school, please. Please. If they are coming from a school that is from the government, you might want to watch what they're saying about governments. Anyway, that was free. Look at your kids' textbooks. But communism seeks to destroy family. They don't even get around that anymore. That's why these types of governments, they attack the family. the socialists and fascists of the 30s and 40s, the Nazi party, they were socialist in nature. They were all for sodomy and all these things. They wanted to destroy the family. Now, as Christians, we're against that. We should be. The Bible's against that. So a form of government that promotes those things would be sinful. So, I named seven sins. One, it brings laziness. Two, it breaks the eighth commandment. The third thing, it causes us to be dependent on the government rather than dependent on our Lord, and to be servants of man rather than servants of God. Four, it takes away from private ownership, which the Bible teaches is right. It breaks the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet. The sixth sin we looked at was the materialistic worldview that it brings. And then the seventh sin we looked at was that it is against the family that God ordained. So what do we do? What do we do about it? We understand this. And I know who I'm talking to. All right? We understand what socialism and communism is. We understand that. So what do we do? I tell you, posting on Facebook doesn't do very much. I mean, getting angry and sending a tweet out doesn't do all that much. I'll tell you what we do. So, well, Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations of our country were built on biblical principles, and the socialists that are trying to take over are against the Bible and against the biblical foundation that our country was built on. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I've got three things we can do. One, God has given us this government, right? We're born here, or you're living here now. Everyone in this building, you're in America right now. Okay? Now here's the thing. We have a First Amendment that says we can petition the government for the redress of grievances. It's the right thing to do for Christians to be the salt of the earth and petition the government. It is the right thing to do for Christians to call your reps, call your representatives. Your senators, your congressmen, write them letters, call them, whatever you got to do. But you should do that. That's important. Okay? That's a big thing. And that will do more than being all bitter and angry over coffee in the morning. That, call them. That's what the First Amendment was for, amongst other things in there. But call them. Petition the government. Number two. And I believe this is probably the most important thing. Soul win. Soul winning. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The devil might use flesh and blood. Sure. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting a spiritual warfare. And we need to combat this with spiritual weapons. One is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it is quick. And it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Use that weapon. Go. You might have it on a track. I ran out. You might have it on a track. You might have it in your New Testament in your back pocket. That would be good, something good to put on social media. The plan of salvation, so people can see it. Use that weapon. It is so much more powerful than anything we can think of. Use it. Go soul winning. Spread the gospel. A population that has not heard will not believe. How shall they call on them in whom they have not heard? They need to hear, and we need to tell them. If you have a population that is without God, it is doomed for destruction. It is doomed for destruction. If our country and our constitution was built on biblical principles by Bible-believing people, then we need a nation full of Bible-believing people. And it is our job as Bible believers, those that believe in Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again, to tell others. And when they hear the gospel, That is the power of God and salvation. God will save them. God will change their life and change their way of thinking. I can't change someone's way of thinking. I can't do it. I can't even hardly read my own writing. This is bad. But if God gets a hold of somebody, He will change them. And there's been people that I've heard them say, when they were saved, and this is all of us, but I've heard people say, when they got saved, God changed their life. Someone that promotes socialism, when they get saved, God will change their life. Because now they'll believe the Bible, and they'll read in the Bible where that stuff is sinful. The greatest weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Use it. Use it. Everywhere you go. And then the third thing, pray. And these are both important. Soul winning and prayer. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face. There is a socialist movement. It's wicked, it's evil, and it is on the rise in our country. And have we prayed on it? Have we turned from our own wicked way? Go to the Lord on this. Ask Him to spare our country from this wicked, evil form of government. Ask Him for this. Pray. Stay in God's Word. Witness. Assemble together. We need to stick together. We need to meet together, encourage one another, exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Do these things. Exercise your First Amendment right. That's extremely important, but not as important as soul winning and prayer. Do these things. Foundations be destroyed. What can the righteous do? They're trying to destroy Him. So let's fight back. Socialism is sinful. It's wicked. Communism is wicked. It's an affront to God. I believe this. So what can we do? Let's do these things. Pray. Soul win. Send a letter to your congressman while you're at it. Be respectful when you do that, by the way. Be respectful. Always be respectful. Bless them that curse you, right? But we ought to do it. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day You've given us, Lord. So much on my mind tonight. But Lord, I trust that You did what You needed to. Lord, we see the sinfulness around us that's on the rise in our nation, and there's a movement that just wants to put You aside. Lord, help Your people. Lord, help me to be a little bolder in my witness. Lord, to take this matter seriously. Lord, it's not just a political battle. It's a spiritual warfare we're in. Help us to take this seriously, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.